Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, have you ever planned a party? I know some people who love to plan parties. My sisters, Millie and Lisa, love to plan parties. And I have to admit to you, I'm not one of those people. I hate to have to be in the planning stage of the party. If you want somebody to grill the ribs or the brats, I'm your guy, but I don't really like planning the parties. And I have to admit, the bigger the party, the less likely I want to get involved. And here's one reason. Have you ever had to put a guest list together for a party? Yeah, see, that's why I don't like to plan parties. The smaller the party, I mean, it's easy. You know, I'm going to invite family, some close friends, people I hang out with at the time. I mean, that's obvious. But the bigger the party, the bigger the budget, the bigger the venue, the bigger the guest list. And I hate to be the guy who has to decide who I invite and who I don't invite. I mean, just consider, this is not just any party, but it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime parties where you really want to invite everybody. You got a big budget, you can invite a lot of people, but you realize you can't invite everybody. And so, how do you decide who you invite and who you don't invite? You'll find out a lot about yourself as you put that guest list together. And you'll find out a lot about how you regard all those people that you know. I did this once with my wife Karen before we got married as we planned our wedding. And it was kind of almost cold-hearted as we took all these people. We wanted everybody to come, but it was limited. We could invite a lot, but not everyone. And we took all the people we knew and we began to categorize them almost rigidly and cold-heartedly into certain groups. There were our family, our friends, and then all those other people that we know. We just call them acquaintances. And then it's kind of obvious, but we're going to invite our family, right? They're our family, our blood. We have to invite them. And then our friends, that's a little more obvious. I mean, we associate with these people by choice. We love them. They love us. We want them there. And then if there's room, well, you got all those other people, the acquaintances. And this is where it gets really tricky. I mean, let's say there's room and you can invite others. How do you decide which of your acquaintances to invite? Well, we actually broke them up into three groups. There were sort of those we're sort of obligated to invite. There are those who invited us to their parties, so we're kind of obligated to invite them. And then there's all those other acquaintances. And you could probably take a wild guess to know that if you fall into that group of other acquaintances way off here, good chance you're not going to make the list. Then comes that time when you look at all your potential guests and you realize there's still too many. And now you have to go through sort of that cold-hearted, brutal, even Darwinian task of thinning out the herd. And so your cousin Frank, okay, we have to invite him, right? I don't care if he comes, but he's your cousin, he's family. My friend John, we've been best friends from grade school through college. We have to invite John. Okay, we got to invite your boss. And the Smiths invited us to their wedding, so we have to invite them to our wedding. But, you know, still too many. And so now, what about Joe? You know, we put Joe in the category of friends. And, you know, he sort of was a friend. But, you know, I haven't spoken to Joe in like 3 years. And he didn't send me a Christmas card. And, well, suddenly my good friend Joe, I take him out of the category of friends and I move him to the category of other acquaintances. And then I cross my fingers and hope he doesn't find out about the party. And even worse, that he doesn't invite me to one. Of course, there's one category of people that I haven't mentioned. These would be acquaintances, perhaps acquaintances you know too well. And these are the people that you don't like, and they don't like you. These are your enemies. Yeah, they're acquaintances, and you know them, but you're not going to mess your once-in-a-lifetime party by inviting the people you hate and the people who hate you. Yeah, remember the Millers, honey? Remember that family that lived kitty corner? Remember how he came with that petition to legalize marijuana and I refused to sign it? So he cussed at me and called me a right-wing fanatic. Then when we went away, his kids toilet papered our house. Everybody knew they did it, right? But they would admit to it. Well, guess what? We're throwing a party and here's a no-brainer. We're not going to invite the Millers. Well, thinking about this, when we reflect upon the Old Testament lesson today, Isaiah 25, something sort of surprising, perhaps even shocking, should hit us. Because Yahweh, the God of Israel, is throwing a party. And because Yahweh is Elohim, God, the budget is, you might say, limitless. This is going to be a party with the best meat and the best wine. This is the stuff today that only presidents and kings and dignitaries get to eat. But on that day, Yahweh is going to provide this meat and wine to all of his guests. And the occasion is momentous. Yahweh is going to remove the reproach from his people Israel. Israel has a reproach because they have been unfaithful to him, and he has threatened to punish them. But on that day, he's going to remove that reproach from his people Israel. You might say Yahweh is going to save his people Israel from their sins. And not only that, Yahweh is going to destroy that shroud that covers all nations. Yahweh is going to swallow up death forever. And if there has ever been a reason to celebrate, there it is. But then consider the guest list. All peoples, all nations. And if you heard about this invitation back in that day, you might scratch your head and say, really, Yahweh has invited the Babylonians to his party? He's invited the Philistines, Israel's traditional enemies. He's invited the Moabites, the Cushites, the Egyptians, the people of Damascus, the Arabians, the people of Tyre and Sidon. God has invited his enemies to his once-in-a-lifetime party, where he's going to give the best food and wine, and yet, if you consider the guest list, all nations, it would be the Babylonians, the Philistines, the Moabites, the Egyptians, the Syrians, the Phoenicians. Aren't these the people who hate him and who hate his people? Aren't these the people that he has threatened with judgment? Yes, they are. But on that day, the invitation goes out to them. And so you might say that on that day, Yahweh plans not only to save his people from their sins, to swallow up death forever, but to reconcile his enemies unto himself. And we can rejoice because in time, today, this invitation has gone out to a strange people, a people who weren't even there in that narrative, who weren't Israel's neighbors. It has gone out to you, a people whose ancestors had never heard the name of Yahweh, the God of Israel, who did not know that he was their creator too. This invitation has gone out to you. And we're blessed to be where we are today, because now we know the full story of what Yahweh has done. Yahweh made a promise in Isaiah 25, and we know that he has firmly kept that promise in the person of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus, who in his person saved his people Israel from their sins, who in his ministry of establishing the reign of God has become a light not only to Israel, but to the nations. Jesus, and who in his death God has reconciled his enemies to himself, and in his resurrection, we see the firm promise and the firm hope that yes, even death itself will be swallowed up forever. Because Jesus has risen from the dead, because he lives, the first fruits of those who will rise from the dead. And so consider that invitation again. Yahweh is holding a feast, and he has invited you to come. He will commemorate how he has removed the reproach of his people. He will commemorate how he has destroyed death and swallowed it up forever. And you, brothers and sisters, are invited to that feast on that day. And look at it this way, how surprising God's grace is to you. Because when you come to that feast, it won't be merely as an enemy who has been reconciled. It won't merely be as an acquaintance. It won't even merely be as friends. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ Jesus, you have put on Christ Jesus, and God regards you as his children. So on that great day, at that great feast, you will sit in the hall as sons and daughters of the King. He will look at you and say, my children. You will look at him and say, our Father. And then the feast will begin. And so, in the meantime, in these latter days, we wait for that day when Yahweh, the God of Israel, will consummate his work and continue to prepare for that feast. And in this time, we can say now, through faith in Jesus Christ, those words that Isaiah said. It will be said on that day, and we will say it even today. Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is Yahweh. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Now may the Lord God, our Heavenly Father, keep you steadfast in this faith and in this hope, both now and unto that day, when Yahweh will bring all things to pass. Amen.